Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer, the ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic raised bed and garden soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.
The first degree.
You see it on the news, you see it on the paper, you see it on Facebook.
These things are supposed to happen in movies, not in real life.
And it haunted me in my head. I had my little daughter, my little precious toddler daughter, sleeping in the other room. And I was having a conversation with a murderer. Of course, we didn't know that at the time, but just the reality of that, that somebody who had done something so evil had been in the sphere of my baby. You never fully let that go.
Welcome to The First Degree, the true crime podcast that you might end up on. My name is Jack Vanek. I'm sitting far away from Alexis Linkletter and Billy Jensen. But you know what? It doesn't feel like I'm far away because Alexis is, she's doing a weird little point at me through the Zoom recording, and it's really bringing me joy right now.
Just being the stage manager. You're like, in our digital stage. Action.
Two. One, go. So today's case is part one of two parts of Sabrina Bebb Jones. So if you're one of our firsties that likes to listen to everything in a little bingey situation, then wait until next week to listen. But you'll be missing out on a bunch of fun and not so fun.
A whole week of First Degree you'll be missing out on. So
you'll be missing out on it. But before we get into the episode, I already looked up the days today and they are fucking fantastic. So Billy, what day is it today?
All right. Well, today is Wednesday, May 26th, and it's World Dracula Day.
Ooh.
And, you know, we, in the Killing Time, I start off the episode saying hosted by two girls, one goth. That is our new tagline. And when we describe ourselves via emoji, it's the two girls and then Dracula.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
And this was the day that Bram Stoker's novel came out in 1897.
No way.
Whoa. Damn.
I'm into that.
A long time ago. What other days are there, Billy? There are some other good ones.
There were some other good ones. There's National Paper Airplane Day.
Not what I was looking for.
All right. But then there's also not one, but two things that Alexis hates. It's National Blueberry Cheesecake Day and National Cherry Dessert Day.
Ew.
they doubled down on this day.
Cooked fruit dessert
is so disgusting. Why would anyone eat anything sweet that wasn't chocolate or something creamy? One of the two.
Listen, I like it, but
You like it like a cherry tart with like cherry jam in it?
I like a jammy Ew. Tart, but I like chocolate better. I will always choose chocolate, but I'm
like
not
a PB
against
PBJ. Ugh.
You don't like peanut butter jelly?
I hate jelly. No.
Wow. I would assume just even if you hated it, you would like peanut butter and jelly. I've never met somebody that doesn't like PBJ before.
I think with the jelly, you need the jelly because the peanut butter is very sticky. It's very dry.
Yeah.
You need a little bit of jelly, but I am very much 3-to-1 ratio of peanut butter to jelly.
Yes. Yeah, so you need a little
peanut butter sandwich on hot bread, and the peanut butter becomes a little thinner and hot and a little runny, and then you got a delicious situation.
And that's it?
That's right.
Okay, well, Billy forgot the best day that is today, and it is World Redhead Day.
Ooh.
Which I can't believe you didn't start off with because Jared just gave me a little look
I'm
over his shoulder.
I'm sorry, Jared.
Really sorry. Everyone, that's Jack, who has Jared in the same room as her. That is Jack with Jared in the same room as her. For our new listeners who can't discern our voices from one another, that is Jack. Jared equals Jack's life partner.
Well, happy World Redhead Day. I have always loved the redheads. They are my fave. So celebrate by going out in the sun today.
Get a few new frecks. Get a few under your belts.
All right. Well, that's enough of that. So let's turn down the lights.
And turn up your anxiety.
Because this could be you.
We move blindly through our lives and let people in and out of our orbits constantly. And you know what? We take it lightly. We engage with strangers, acquaintances, business associates, friends, and even family with a level of inherent trust. A trust they don't deserve, and a trust we don't have time to pressure test. But as you know, as a consumer of true crime and listener of this podcast, that quite often, this trust is betrayed.
Today's case takes us back to September 16th of 1997. Movies Mrs. Dalloway, The Game, and LA Confidential were in theaters. Honey by Mariah Carey was topping the charts, followed by Men in Black by Will Smith and Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba. It was an iconic week in music.
Yeah.
Iconic time.
Iconic.
And the setting for today's case is Grand Junction, Colorado, which is located in the western part of the state along the Colorado River. And that area is nicknamed River City because two major rivers meet near the city, which many locals refer to as a junction, hence the name Grand Junction. During the 1970s, the nearby valley became an economic point of interest because of its vast supply of oil shale. But as our first degree Michelle tells us, Grand Junction was much smaller in 1997 than it is today.
Grand Junction, it's on the western slope of Colorado. It's actually, if you're there, a lot of the streets are named like 28 and a half road because that's how far away they are from the Utah border. It's more of a desert. I think the population, it was right around the time that Grand Junction was officially a metropolis. So to hit that like 100,000 mark, you start getting kind of more like chain restaurants and things like that. There was, now it's actually a university, but Mesa State College was in town. Not a lot of like businesses.
By the late 90s, Grand Junction was trying to designate itself from the surrounding metro area. And to do this, the city needed to attract families. And there was one way to do that.
Tourism is kind of part of what Grand Junction has been trying for several years to attract more of. They really try to get tourism to come in for things like mountain biking, hiking, because the Mesa, which is kind of more mountain, is really beautiful. And so is the monument. And the monument is very much like red, like kind of like what you think of Red Rocks or Utah with arches and some of those areas, but really beautiful.
So Grand Junction sounds like a great place for a family to settle down, especially a family with children. And it just so happens that children were a big part of Michelle's job at the time, as well as part of the story that we're telling today.
I was working at a small daycare, child care center, and I had a daughter of my own at the time who was about two.
Since Michelle worked in a daycare, she normally took her daughter to work with her. However, one day she decided to stay home because either her or her daughter were sick. But while she was at home, Michelle's day took an unexpected turn.
I got a phone call somewhere in the late morning, early afternoon, and it was my boss. And they said, Michelle, have you talked to Marcus or Sabrina? Do you know anything? Because they're missing. Because at that point, the police contacted the daycare center, and I was just shocked. I said, what? You know, how can they be missing? This is insane.
So I bet you're wondering, who are Marcus and Sabrina? Well, they're the parents of a boy named Daniel, who was a student, so to say, at the daycare center where Michelle worked, or a little boy who attended the daycare center. Michelle had made a connection with Daniel's mother, 31-year-old Sabrina Bev Jones, and she started babysitting Daniel outside of her daycare classroom at her own home when Sabrina and her husband, 33-year-old Marcus Bev Jones, needed childcare. And remember how Grand Junction was trying to revive tourism? Well, Sabrina and Marcus were a couple who were contributing to that dream, because the reason they moved to this area was to buy, restore, and operate the local Melrose Hotel. And at one point, Sabrina had even given Michelle a tour of the hotel to show her the updates they'd made.
Now, this hotel was small. It had 18 rooms, and each one had an individual personality. And according to their website, they're offering a Victorian atmosphere with the convenience of the present day. And if you take a look at the pictures of the hotel, it's like one of those really cute, quaint downtown hotels, two stories. Just looks like a great place to stay.
I'd totally stay there.
And it looks like a really cute little boutique hotel. Like, I feel like when we went to CrimeCon, was it CrimeCon? Or when we went meeting with Payne Lindsay, we stayed at like a little boutique-y hotel sort of like this.
That was in Atlanta. Yeah, that totally reminds me of it. It's super cute. And I love how there is that, like, it's very vintagey feeling, but you know it's like nice and clean on the inside. That's what the appearance looks like.
Yeah, I guess the original was built in 1908. And if you Google it, you can see the before and after. And structurally, they kept the same. And they updated it, but it looks like a modern update. Like, it still has sort of a retro feel, but brand new. It looks gorgeous.
And we'll post these on our social media, too.
Totally.
One time, we had dropped Daniel off with them, and they had given us a tour of the hotel. And, you know, Sabrina and Marcus are showing us the hotel. And Sabrina was so proud of the work she'd done at the hotel. You could tell. And it really was. She had done a tremendous amount of work from where it had been.
So we're getting a clear picture of Sabrina. She was passionate, kind, and committed to transforming the hotel and contributing to her community. Marcus, on the other hand, he was kind of harder to get to know than Sabrina was.
I think he's kind of a bit of a salesman, I would say. He has that kind of that personality where he's very confident, very kind of sure of himself. I would say he would do things to sort of have the power position in conversation. Mm-hmm. Kind of cocky. He was British, and he's the only British person that I knew in graduation at the time. So, I mean, at the time, you're kind of just like, well, it's the accent. And I think I really liked Sabrina a lot, to tell you the truth.
Okay, so there's the background on this family and how Michelle had come to know them. So we're going to snap back to this weird phone call where Michelle learns that these people that she's gotten to know rather well were missing. She talked on the phone to the police.
And they said, yeah, they're missing. Nobody knows where they are. Have you heard anything?
But Michelle hadn't heard anything. It was relayed to her on this call because she was the couple's babysitter. The police wanted to speak with her.
And so I think I had called the police and I said, hi, you know, I'm here. I hear you want to speak with me. And so that first day, Thursday, I thought the whole family was missing. And so I was, you know, scared for everybody.
These first calls to the police would be the beginning of a heartbreaking sequence of events and a string of disturbing revelations that would place Michelle at the center of the investigation into this missing family. This brings us to some key questions. How could a family from such a nice area like Grand Junction just suddenly disappear? And how does Michelle fit into all this? Well, to find the answers, we got to go back to the beginning, starting from when Michelle met the Bebb Jones family.
Michelle's interaction with the Bebb Jones family began innocently enough.
I met Sabrina and Marcus Bebb Jones when they brought their son to Bright Beginnings for child care. Daniel, their son, wasn't in my class initially, but it was a small center. It was a parent co-op. So one of the draws was parents could do volunteer work, come in and kind of do maintenance and things and get a little credit on their bill. So parents were pretty involved and you kind of knew everybody. Back then, I was in my early 20s. I was 22, and I had this little girl, and childcare does not pay extremely well. So I did quite a bit of childcare for people on the side here and there. It was kind of a good side hustle, sort of. And it was great because my daughter always liked playing with other children, so I could make a little money on the side, and it was kind of a fun little play date for my daughter.
Sabrina and Michelle ended up chatting, and Sabrina was thrilled to find out Michelle did babysitting on the side. The Melrose Hotel, which Sabrina and her husband Marcus were reviving, was essentially a full-time project, which entailed a lot of late nights and weekends. And it's no surprise that the hotel business is extremely time-consuming, which is why they needed a reliable babysitter like Michelle.
She needed someone for Saturday mornings to watch Daniel because she needed to do some things at their hotel. And on Saturday mornings, Marcus was doing tours with guests at the hotel. So she would bring Daniel to me during that time. And I would watch him for about 5 hours on Saturday mornings.
From Michelle's perspective, it seemed as though Sabrina was the one who handled most of Daniel's day-to-day needs.
I definitely saw more of Sabrina than Marcus. At some point, Daniel moved into my classroom, and Daniel was very attached to his mother. But Sabrina was really, really attentive as a mother. She was the type of personality that she would rather have stayed a little longer and kind of get him situated and get him comfortable before she left.
Another thing to note, Sabrina was extremely punctual.
She was also the type of mom who, if she was going to be just even a, like 5-10 minutes late, we got a phone call from her. And that's not usual for everybody, but she would want us to let Daniel know, like, if he's waiting on me. And I mean, he's 3, so he doesn't know time, but she knows that he's going to be expecting her. So if she was concerned, like, if he wakes up and I'm not there yet, let him know that, you know, I'm on my way. So she thought of him all the time.
Michelle was a big fan of Sabrina's, and they started to interact very frequently with the comings and goings of watching Daniel at both daycare and at home. Which brings us to a phone call Michelle received from Sabrina the week before the family went missing.
The phone had woken me up, and so I was a little, you know, just kind of like that groggy. And she sounded more urgent than she usually did when she asked if I could watch Daniel. And she was kind of pleading with me, could I take him home with me from work on Tuesday so her and Marcus could have a day together?
So the plan here, to be clear, is that Daniel would be dropped off at daycare and then Michelle would take Daniel home with her, which meant that Sabrina and Marcus could have the entire day together until they had to pick Daniel up late that Tuesday night.
And they were going to go to Dinosaur National Park.
According to the National Park Service website, when describing Dinosaur National Park, they say, "Dinosaurs once roamed here. Their fantastic remains are still visible, embedded in the rocks. Today, the mountains, desert, and untamed rivers flowing deep in canyons support an array of life. Petroglyphs hint at earlier cultures. Later, homesteaders and outlaws found refuge here. Whether your passion is science, adventure, history, or scenery, Dinosaur offers much to explore." So clearly, Sabrina and her husband Marcus wanted to drive the 2 hours to this park to see all Dinosaur National Park had to explore. So anyways, back to Michelle's phone call with Sabrina that day.
And I remember her saying, before I'd had a chance to even say yes or no, she said, "Please, Michelle, we really need this." And that sticks with me. I wasn't really aware that they were having marital problems. I'm not sure that's something that, you know, she would have spoken to me about. Even at the time, it kind of caught me off guard. And I said, "Oh, yeah, of course." And we made the arrangements.
4 days later, Sabrina drops Daniel off at daycare.
So Tuesday came and we talked and we had just kind of a normal conversation about that they would be gone for the day, what time they would pick him up from me that evening. And I told her kind of like, this is what I was going to make for dinner. Do you think this is fine? Will you like that? And she said, "Oh yeah, he likes, you know, those things." She didn't seem nervous. She didn't seem upset, but she did seem in a hurry to go, to kind of get on the road, which is understandable because Dinosaur is not super close to Grand Junction.
The The day proceeded as normal.
So kind of go through the day. We're at daycare and I bring him home with me with my daughter. We're home that evening. The kids are playing. I fed them dinner. Basic night. And then it starts getting later.
The late afternoon and evening proceeded as normal as well. And then it came time for Sabrina to pick Daniel up.
I was really surprised when it was, you know, past the time that they were supposed to be there. And I hadn't gotten a phone call from Sabrina. I hadn't heard anything all day. And I had been surprised that she didn't call me that evening to verify that, you know, everything was going fine. Was Daniel okay? That had surprised me because that wasn't like her either. But they were hiking and they were in the wilderness, all of those things. I kind of disregarded that at the time.
It was getting late, so Daniel started getting fussy, which was pretty understandable.
Daniel, he wasn't really wanting to go to sleep at my house because it was different. I was sitting out on the couch with him and we were watching cartoons. And I think it was about 45 minutes after the time that Daniel was supposed to be picked up, Marcus came to get him.
Marcus came to get him. That was also abnormal.
Now, Marcus had never picked him up from our house before. One time they had gone to a concert, and that night they both came. But Marcus, he didn't even pick Daniel up very often from the center on his own. I mean, there would be a few rare times we'd see him, but we definitely saw Sabrina more. Or they'd come together. But Marcus coming without Sabrina, that wasn't the norm.
Okay, so I bet that your true crime brain is being activated like all of ours is, because a lot of things are really not lining up. But at the time, Michelle really had no way of knowing how key this interaction with Marcus would prove to be. It was late at night, she was tired, and she's just relieved that one of Daniel's parents is finally there to pick him up.
Right. So I do think it's interesting to note that she knows that she's never really interacted with Marcus. Sabrina really takes most of the care. Yeah. But at this point, it's so easy to be like, they were hiking all day. Sabrina could be tired. Maybe, you know, this wouldn't necessarily throw up a red flag.
Well, it's just one of those things that it's everything in retrospect, right? Because
totally.
That could have come and gone, and it could have been such an innocuous sort of situation that really had no relevance whatsoever, but it's only looking back and seeing what transpired before and after, or whatever it was, that made it such a interesting moment.
Yeah. And like we said, you know, it's late at night. She's tired. She's going to question a lot less things. She just like, okay, you know what? I can finally go to bed.
Yeah. I just want to go to sleep.
It's a moment that seems so benign, but something you would dissect over and over if you learned later that something bad happened.
Yeah.
He comes in. He doesn't say anything about Sabrina. And he's like, oh, come on, Daniel, we got to go, you know. And he hands me the money for babysitting, just kind of hands it to me.
So the day Michelle babysat Daniel for Sabrina and Marcus was a Tuesday. On Wednesday morning, Michelle went to work at the daycare as usual.
I actually switched from the classroom I was in. So I no longer saw Daniel like all day when he was at daycare. I would see him in the morning when he first got there.
Michelle didn't see Daniel that Wednesday at daycare, but he was there. He had attended.
Apparently, Marcus had brought Daniel in. I heard from other staff at the time. He had brought Daniel in later than normal. Daniel was really upset. He was crying a lot.
Then we get to Thursday.
Thursday, either I or my daughter was sick. So we didn't go to work that day. But I got a phone call. Police contacted the daycare center. The whole family was missing.
And this brings us back to the moment that Michelle received that call and she learned that the family was missing. Michelle had been in close contact with the family in the days just prior. So naturally, the police were very interested to speak with her.
And they set an appointment, I think, for the next day for me to come in that morning and talk to them.
Michelle was perplexed by this whole thing, and she began running through all of the possible scenarios. And it was at that point, a very disturbing one had crossed her mind.
I was, you know, scared for everybody. And they had had a burglary at the hotel, I want to say maybe a month before, and their cell phone had been stolen. And now in retrospect, I'm kind of suspect of this situation. But their cell phone had been stolen. So that was the first thing I thought. You know, they'd had a burglary, somebody came back, somebody took this whole family. And that's just really scary.
When Michelle met with the police, she was really worried by this point. She had understandably formed a bond with Daniel and Sabrina too. And the idea that something sinister could have happened to them was a really terrifying notion. So when she spoke to the police, they asked her normal things you'd expect in the preliminary stages of a missing persons case. She recounted to them what had transpired, how Sabrina had asked her to watch Daniel so that she and Marcus could spend the day together at Dinosaur National Park. Marcus had picked Daniel up. He'd been casual. He'd been nonchalant. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary. But after speaking to them, she went home without much resolution. And the whereabouts of the family was a true mystery. And all Michelle could do at this point was hope they would all turn up okay. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the RealReal makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world, and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST. In September of 1997, the Bebb Jones family had come up missing. Michelle, who was little boy Daniel's babysitter, had been watching him so that Sabrina and Marcus could spend time together on the day this entire mystery began unfolding. So after Michelle spoke to the police, she went home and waited for news. And it was days later that she'd get some. Marcus had been found, and he was alive.
I found out Marcus was in Las Vegas. He had tried to kill himself in one hotel room.
Daniel had been located as well.
And he had left Daniel alone in a different hotel room. So Daniel was found alone, just completely abandoned, in a hotel room. And Marcus was in a different hotel, and he had tried to kill himself. But he wasn't successful.
Marcus had been discovered with a self-inflicted gunshot wound to his jaw. When the hotel maid had found him, there was a note lying nearby. The note was addressed to his wife. It said, quote, "Sabrina, initially you may not think this is the best. I can't change who I am. I understand your anger, but now as the years pass, that will diminish. This is the only way I can be without you or Daniel. Please don't hate me, Marcus."
Okay, so what do we think about this?
It's a bizarre note.
Well, let's talk about the fact that Sabrina was in Dinosaur National Park. That's where they were together the day that Michelle babysat for them.
Right.
So what in God's name is he doing in Las Vegas? Where is Daniel? Why did you miss when you tried to kill yourself? Why did it hit you in the jaw? And what does this note mean?
Yeah. It sounds like this note is him trying to set up an alibi.
Yeah.
Or potentially him writing to her if she's already dead, and him and maybe even Daniel is going to meet him in the afterlife. It's incredibly bizarre, and you have to wonder when he wrote it, but you have to think that he wrote it right before he did this gunshot wound to his jaw.
I mean, if you're thinking like a defense attorney, it could also be Sabrina left him. He did something horrible, like cheated or blew their life savings gambling in Vegas, and there's no recovery for his life. I mean, those are the potential scenarios, and I...
Well, and it's just like the way writing her a note is also setting up the fact that if he's writing her a note, he thinks that she's alive.
Yeah.
Well, here's a question. Do guilty people or innocent people shoot themselves in the jaw? Because a jaw is pretty close to your face and brain. So it's a pretty risky shot to take.
I don't know, Billy.
I don't know. When I noticed that, I thought that he just punked out when he was trying to kill himself, and then he moved at the very last minute.
Or maybe subconsciously, something like that.
Like maybe he had the gun right underneath his jaw, right by his neck, and then he flinched at the very last second, and then it ricocheted sort of off his jaw.
Possibly.
So Marcus, although he was injured, was accounted for. And Daniel had been accounted for too, but the big question is, where was Sabrina? And there were other questions. Why was Marcus with Daniel in Las Vegas? And then there's that note. What was that note all about? At this point, there were few answers to be had. But once news of what happened in Vegas was made public, Michelle knew one thing for sure.
I knew 100% he had killed Sabrina. No doubt. No doubt in my mind. I knew in my gut there was no way, if she was alive, if she was walking this earth, that she would not be trying to contact her son. I knew if she was okay, she would have called us.
Michelle had no idea that on the day she agreed to babysit for Sabrina Bebb Jones, she would find herself in the center of Sabrina's murder.
It haunted me in my head. I had my little daughter, my little precious toddler daughter, sleeping in the other room, and I was having a conversation with a murderer. The reality of that, that somebody who had done something so evil had been in the sphere of my baby. You never fully let that go.
By this point in our story, it's becoming more and more clear that Daniel was in Michelle's care when Sabrina's life was cut short. Unfortunately, this story would drag on for years and included a cloud of suspicion, a move overseas, a poker tournament, and an extradition. All of this and more next week on part two of this story.
Until then, a big thank you to Michelle for being our first degree this week. She'll be with us next week as well. If you're listening out there and you have a story to tell, please email us hello@thefirstdegreepodcast.com. You can follow us on Instagram @thefirstdegree, @AlexisLinkletter, @BillyJensen, @JackVanek. Join our First Degree Facebook page. We're talking true crime all the time. And check back in our feed tomorrow for a brand new episode of Killing Time.
And remember, only you can prevent serial killers. Keep your friends close.
But not that close.
Happy Dracula Day.
Happy Cooked Fruit Day, you animals.
Happy National Redhead World Day. Or whatever.
Whoop, whoop. Shout out to Jared Monaco for scoring and creating original music for The First Degree, producing by Caitlin Cleveland, producing an additional writing by Taylor Rogers, and producing by Alan Santiago for Podcast One. Sources for this episode are the BBC, the Post Independent, the Daily Mail, the Aspen Daily News, and the Denver Post. And as always, our First Degree guest is always our largest source.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.